Yeah, there's a lot of little nuances that bug me. A lot of them, actually. Now, in terms of the fundamental premise from which we're working, which is obviously the gospel first and foremost, but then also the whole Genesis 6 narrative, the advent of the fall of the watchers. What stumps me, maybe not stumps me, but what really boggles my mind is to try and figure out how involved were the human beings of the time in the technology, in the building of the megaliths? Were human beings also at the time, pre-flood humans, able to do some of these things in terms of building megaliths? Or was it exclusively the offspring of the Watchers? Or was it also the line of Cain? Was the line of Cain building some of this stuff before the Watchers ever showed up? I doubt that. I doubt that. That question, which I just posed, because really the technology for metalsmithing and so forth didn't happen until the advent of the Watchers. But certainly, the early humans, the line of Cain and the line of Seth, were far more intelligent than we are. They were more intelligent. They were stronger. They were more spiritual. They were more human than we are in every respect. At least the line of Seth was far more human than we are. We're still human. We're human enough, let's put it that way. But we're not as human as the line of Seth was in the pre-flood world. So those abilities that are innate in the human race, which were innate in Adam, were much more active in the sons of Adam before the flood than they are in us. Some of those abilities might include sort of that sixth sense that animals seem to possess that maybe we lost. This connection that we had with spiritual things that was much stronger back then, that still exists in animals to a degree. George Pember believes, as do I, that the theologian George Pember, the late theologian George Pember, believes that that part of the human psyche was turned off by God after the fall, definitely after the flood, to protect us from the reality of the ethereal world, of the metaphysical situation happening in the world, to protect us from that because we no longer were capable to deal with it. We had lost the faculty to rightly deal with it. So if we were able to perceive it without really being able to handle it, it would be very dangerous for us. And I tend to agree, Pember, about that. I think that we do have certain faculties that were turned down, that were dialed down either after Adam or after the flood, so that we wouldn't be tormented with what we would be perceiving on a daily basis. Atlantis, in my mind, relates specifically to the Golden Age, the time on the earth when the gods descended and mingled themselves with men. Because Atlantis specifically references that very kind of situation. It was Poseidon, according to myth, Greek mythology, who founded Atlantis, who built Atlantis. And he married a human woman. So there you have the Genesis 6. You have the Genesis 6 paradigm. He takes a human woman as a wife, has sexual intercourse with her, and produces as his offspring 10 twins or five sets of twins. And so 10 sons, and they were all twins in pairs. And these twins were giants. So there you have the context of Atlantis. The context of Atlantis is a Genesis 6 context. So in my mind, that seals the idea that Atlantis is telling us about the pre-flood world rather than the pre-Adamic world. You understand what I'm saying? Because of the Genesis 6 paradigm of the gods descending, the watchers descending to mingle with men. Obviously, men had to be around in order for that to happen. So we're not talking pre-Adamic, we're talking post-Adamic. there had to be men in order for that scenario to be viable.
Mm-hmm.
So Atlantis refers to the pre-flood paradigm. Do I believe Atlantis was a real place? Yes. But more so than being an actual physical city, I believe Atlantis is an analogy. It is symbolic. It is metaphoric of the pre-flood world in general.
Mm-hmm.
It is both metaphoric and symbolic of the pre-flood world and of the end of the age, which will, the pre-flood world prefigured the end of the age, which is the restoration of the golden age, which is the repeat, the reinstitution of the golden age. And again, the golden age being the advent of the coming of the watchers, the mingling their genetics with humans, the giants, the hybrids, the defiling of all flesh. So we're going to see a repeat of that in the end of the age. And Atlantis, the 10 kings of Atlantis, prefigure the 10 kings of the book of Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe also we have the text in Daniel where we're told concerning the statue of Nebuchadnezzar with the different cast in the different metals that represent the different empires of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The last and final phase, the last and final empire was a mixture of iron and clay.
Yeah.
Which were the feet of the statue, the final empire on earth. And Daniel makes that famous ambiguous statement, that esoteric statement, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron does not cleave, does not mix with clay.
Right.
So, how many toes are on two pairs of feet, a pair of feet?
Mm-hmm.
10.
Mm-hmm.
10 toes, 10 kings. 10 kings who are not fully human, they shall mingle themselves. Uh-oh, now we're talking about Atlantis.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the pre-flood world. 10 kings of Atlantis, who were the sons of the gods, Poseidon specifically. 10 giants, who were kings over Atlantis, prefiguring these 10 rulers in the book of Revelations, who do what? Who give their power and authority to the beast. So Atlantis is prefiguring the 10 kings scenario of the end of the age. And I believe Daniel's statement of they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. He's talking about the feet, iron mixed with clay, 10 toes on those feet,
mm-hmm.
referencing what's written in the book of Revelations concerning those 10 kings, which are giving their authority to the beast. By the way, this entity, the beast, not only will have the authority of men, the total, the complete authority of the human race invested in these 10 kings who give him their authority. He's being given the deed, the title deed of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He also has invested in him the authority of his father, the devil, who gives him separately his authority, the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is telling us something about the beast, Josh, most people overlook. Jesus had all authority in heaven, the Bible tells us,
mm-hmm.
because he was the Son of God. But he had all authority on earth as well. Why? Because he was the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Who was given authority over the earth? Men. Before the flood and after. Restated, redeclared to Noah after the flood. Mm-hmm. Take authority. Have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God restate that to Noah after the flood? Because the hybrids had usurped it in the world before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen again. Hybrids are going to usurp the authority of humanity. Let's go back to Jacob and Esau. Who was the usurper? The hybrid, Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Esau was the usurper, the hybrid. So who's going to be the usurper in the end of the age? The hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
They're usurping the authority invested in the human race. It's a fundamental part of the end of the age, in my opinion. So you have these 10 kings, not fully human, in my opinion, again, prefigured in Atlantis, who are giving their earthly authority, which they usurped, to the beast, who has authority to receive it, which tells us something about him. He's partly human. He can take the human authority. He has enough humanity in his genome to execute human authority. So picture that authority being given to him from those 10 kings as a scroll, a deed, right? A contract of authority that they're legally able to give him. Here, he takes it in his left hand. But see, he's the beast. He's not fully human. Because he gets to hold in his right hand authority from the devil, which can be given to him. So he's got the authority of man in one hand and the authority of his father, the prince of the power of the air, in the other hand. Well, that is a bastardization of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, who is the son of his father, his heavenly father, invested with all the authority of heaven, but who is also the son of man. And able to open the scroll and take the deed of the earth as a human being. So he's got the authority of the human race and the authority of the Father. So what we have here is a usurpation in the end of times by the devil and the beast, trying to usurp two things. Number one, to usurp the authority of mankind over the earth, dominion of the earth. Number two, to usurp the throne of Christ. That's the end game. That's the devil's end game. Usurpation of the throne of Christ. See, he wanted to ascend to be like the Most High. Well, there's only one who is the likeness and the image of the Father, who is the perfect likeness and image of the Father. Who's that?
Jesus Christ. Yep.
So when the devil said he wanted to be like the Most High, he didn't want to be the Most High. He wanted to be like the Most High.
Right.
Who did he want to be? Whose seat did he want to usurp from the very beginning? That of the Son of God's, Jesus's.
Wow.
That's what he's coveted from the beginning. He's coveted the throne of Christ from the beginning. The only one, by the way, the only one in the Bible worshipped besides the Father is the Son. No one else. No angel, no other power. Only the Father. There's only one who is worshipped and reverenced like the Father, and that is the Son. And that's for sure. Read the Song of the Lamb in the book of Revelations, which extols the Lamb of God who was slain to redeem from every tribe, tongue, and nation a people for himself. So the Lamb is extolled. The elders, the 24 elders, fall down and cast their crowns to this man, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the throne that the devil wants to usurp, and that's what the end game's about. It really is. It's not about destroying us so much. It is to a degree. But it's more about usurpation. That's what the game's been since the beginning, Josh. Think about it. If Cain was not fully human, was the offspring of the devil, for lack of a better term, that's usurpation. That's usurpation of the authority invested in the human race. It's usurpation of the line of the human race from which would come the Messiah also. The game is still afoot. It was afoot after the flood. In Jacob and Esau. Esau was the usurper, not Jacob. Esau was the usurper. Jacob was holding on to the heel. The human race holding on and saying, you will not take my birthright, my dominion. I'm human. You're a hybrid. So if you put that in context with everything else, suddenly you realize what the game's about. This hybridization, this this new human paradigm that's coming, humanity 2.0, tricking humanity out of the very trademarks, tricking us out of the very genetic trademarks that give us dominion on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when we lose it? What happens when the human race loses its genetic trademarks that give it dominion, and something else becomes human enough to take that dominion, to usurp that dominion? Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. That's the scenario. It's been the same tactic since the Garden of Eden, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It is to usurp dominion from the human race, and it is to usurp the throne of Christ, who is promised the seed of David to rule and reign on this earth. The devil does not have the right, the authority to rule and reign on the earth in the way that Jesus does.
Right.
He does not have it. Now he's the prince of the power of the air. He's given dominion. He's abdicated authority from us.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that? What does he say to Jesus when he comes and tempts him? These nations, the authority and the authority thereof, has been given to me, he said,
mm-hmm.
and I can give them to whomever I please or choose.
Mm-hmm.
The devil tells us, where did he get authority from? How did he get authority over the nations? It was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
By who? By us. So he's a usurper, and he's been a usurper from the beginning. That's what he is. He's a usurper.
Yeah.
And believe me, Josh, there are many entities waiting in the wings, both up, both above and below, waiting for the moment when the human race loses its dominion on the planet. That's a scary scenario.